The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live.
It's good Thursday. Thanks for being with us. We have Steve Kettman with us today, who has put together a book on Pedro. It's a tough deal. What Pedro Gomez showed us about baseball and life. Steve Kettman will be with us in about 20 minutes. Obviously, Suns, Lakers. Yes, I stayed up last night. I was like you. I was like, I can't believe he made that shot. What a great shot. I wasn't cheering for either team. I don't cheer. I don't root. That's not me. That's not what we're here to do. I just am very, very happy to have playoff basketball back in Phoenix. I am happy about that. And we'll get into that. We'll also hear from LeBron. He said some things I thought were pretty interesting about bringing the fight. We're brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. Desert Financial Credit Union, terrific people. We are part of them with Sports 360 AZ. You should be part of them as well. They do so much more than just a credit union. You should check them out. That's Desert Financial Credit Union. Steve Kettman. The book, What Pedro Gomez Showed Us About Baseball and Life, coming up in about 15 minutes. Okay, so it is Suns and Lakers, and the first game is on Sunday. I'm going to go. I will be there in the building, masked up, ready to see it. 12:30 tip. Game two is on Tuesday night at home for games one and two. Thursday, they go back to L.A. Next Thursday, and then they play, I think it's Sunday. So that's the first four games. I expect this series to go six, and I expect the Lakers to win the series. They're the defending champions. So it's just how it is. And I know it's been a long time since Phoenix has been here. We have sat here through 11 long years. I've talked at that ad nauseum. I look at the Lakers, and I see an aging warrior with an ankle that may be a little gimpy or maybe not. And I see a big man who took the Suns absolutely apart in Anthony Davis. He scored 42 on them the last time. I see a very inexperienced center in DeAndre Ayton that at times looks like he could hang with them. And other times I just don't see it. I see a player in Devin Booker who's had himself a great season. There's no question about it. He's a terrific player, but he's never been in this type of environment where the grind is real. This is not the bubble last year, okay? It's not. So don't give me the, well, it's the bubble. All that stuff's nonsense. And I don't care about winning two of three during the regular season. Regular season NBA basketball doesn't really mean anything. Other than, okay, you have home court, but a lot of nights teams are resting players. They say they're injured and they're not. It's the way to get around the bad PR. You have load management. All that stuff, okay? It's just noise. It's just nonsense. And I look at the battle of the coaches. I would rather have Monty Williams and Frank Vogel. Monty Williams said no to the Lakers. I love that part of this storyline. I love that Monty Williams said, I want Phoenix. I don't think that this is a Laker team that I look at top to bottom and say, wow, they are just loaded. It's just they have more experience. And so for anybody who's going to sit here and say, yeah, the Suns are going to win this and they're going to be favored, it's great to be a fan. You might want to take a deeper look at this deal. Like, they've got Markieff Morris and Jared Dudley sitting over there at halftime last night, ripping their team to shreds because they played horribly. They missed 31 shots in the first half last night. So the story afterwards was Markieff Morris and Jared Dudley ripped those guys. That's veteran leadership. Now, that is what Jay Crowder has brought here. Okay, that is what he's been able to do. There's going to be the officials have it in for the Lakers to win conspiracy theory that's out there. And I just say, play the game. Will Devin Booker get calls that LeBron James gets? Be interesting to see. Chris Paul can go out there on his own because he's been in this space and set everybody up in regular season games. Are they going to be able to finish? Is a guy like Mikal Bridges going to be able to hang with LeBron James? If you're just talking defensively, you tell me, if you look at the Suns roster, if you're not sitting here with orange-colored glasses on, just trying to be objective, you think Mikal Bridges straight up with LeBron James? Do you think that inside Jay Crowder and DeAndre Ayton, Frank Kaminsky, Dario, do you think all those guys, that's 24 fouls, you could put inside on Anthony Davis and just wear him down? So again, until the champions are knocked off, you have to favor them. There's also this side. This is LeBron James last night. This is what you are in for in Phoenix.
One of those type of, those energy, effort, every possession count games. And
so LeBron is talking about bringing the fight to the fight. And I look at that, and that's what I believe Chris Paul can do. I believe that's what Jay Crowder can do. DeAndre Ayton is really the X factor in this. Is he just going to melt in the moment, or is he going to shut all of us up because he finally has shown up, or finally shows up to play? That's really what this is going to come down to on the inside, because if not, we've seen where Anthony Davis can dominate. And you know, I look at the play-in game last night. It was terrific marketing by the NBA. I'm sure the number was huge. I'm sure the number is going to be huge for this series. To have LeBron against Chris Paul, two aging superstars, great drama for the fans to be able to go to the game in a small number, not packed out arena, for us to actually have something to talk about we haven't been able to get into since 2010. Yeah, it's all good. It's all good top to bottom. But for me, I just look at it and say, I think the Lakers will win the series. I could be wrong. That's the way it goes. Diamondbacks last night were so bad in the eighth inning. I'm going back and forth. Two walks, an error, a sack fly, and a double play grounder, and the Dodgers get two runs. Oof. In baseball, there was another no-hitter last night. There's been six of them this year. This is the least amount of hits that has been given up in baseball games this year since 1908. It's a snooze fest. I don't know what the answer is, but when you have six no-hitters, and the all-time record for a season is seven, and we're May 20th, clearly there's something going on. Clearly there's something amiss. And we have the PGA Championships. We have a major this weekend, so I'm going to be torn. Sunday, I will be all geeked and laser-focused at the arena on what is at hand, but I have to tell you, I'm going to be watching a lot of golf. That's the way it goes. All right, on the other side, Steve Kempman, the name of the book, What Pedro Gomez Showed Us About Baseball and Life. So many of you were touched. And, of course, through years, we had Pedro here as a weekly guest. With the passing of Pedro back in February, Steve's come out with a terrific, terrific book. We'll have that next. I'm Brad Sussmad. All right, as promised, this is going to be a hard interview because Pedro, when he left on Super Bowl Sunday, and the game was like in the fourth quarter, I'm sitting here in my office and I start seeing Rip Pedro trending and I had no idea what was going on. And our good friend Pedro Gomez, and I go all the way back to when he covered preps in San Diego and I'm there in San Diego. And then I come over here and he comes over here. And when I started doing this and I walked out on local television, he's like, I'd love to come on with you. And I said, well, you're at ESPN. He says, I don't care. I'll come on with you. And so we did a weekly for 9 years. When you do a weekly with somebody, you get to know them inside and out even more so because there's a lot of things behind the scenes. All that to say, when he did pass, I saw that there was a book that was coming that Steve Kettman put together. Steve is joining us now. The name of the book, it is out. It's Remember Who You Are. And I have to tell you, in the excerpts that I've read, it's moved me in emotions. And for so many of you here in the Valley and across the state, that knew and loved Pedro for so many different reasons. Even if you didn't know him, you did know him in a certain sort of way. Steve joins us here for a few minutes. It is good to see you on this side. It's not good to visit with you on this topic. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. I wanted to just clarify for everybody that the book is now available for pre-order. Oh. The hardcover will be out in July. And there is a website, thegomezrules.com. where they can get all the information they want. It, you know, it's already available at Amazon for pre-order. You can go into any bookstore and order it. And we will have, starting in June, on June 10th, we will have the ebook available for instant download. But if people go to that, the GomezRules.com site, there's a bar up at the top for the essays. And they can click there and they can read my intro, which is in there. And then they can read a couple of the essays already, including Keith Olbermann, closes the book, 62 essays. And one thing about Pedro was a lot of people, Pedro and I often talked about us being best friends, But the thing with Pedro was he had a lot of best friends. He had hundreds of best friends, thousands, because every friend he had, he made you feel like you were his best friend. And Keith Olbermann closes the collection with an essay about that, about every friend was a best friend. So that one is available there now. And I just want to thank the great photographer for Sports Illustrated, Brad Mangin, who did that was picture editor on the book. There's 185 pictures in this book. Wow. And then also put together the website. So there's a photo gallery there at the website. People can go right now and check it out. And then one last thing. I'm Steve Kettman, 2 T's, 2 N's. I'm at Twitter. If people have questions about the book, you can always come to me directly. And then on Facebook, we do have a group, Remember Who You Are. And I'd love to have some Arizona people in there, because so many of you saw Pedro out in the community, going to schools to work with students, or, you know, just out at Home Depot. I know he went to Home Depot like once a week, because it seemed like I was always talking to him from Home Depot. So anyway, Brad, thanks for having me on. I know we don't have a lot of time.
We're good. We're good. Steve Kettman with us. The name of the book is Remember Who You Are, talking about the life of Pedro Gomez. When did you two first meet?
Well, we were on the A's beat together in 95. So we covered the last year of Tony La Russa as A's manager together. We were there when, you know, Jason Giambi blew up like someone had, you know, it was like one of those things you do for your kids in the swimming pool where it was all puffed up because Mark McGwire was, you know, teaching them how to use steroids. And then we were on the road together for more than 2 years. And, you know, we were constantly out, constantly talking baseball, constantly talking writing. And, you know, it's just one of those friendships that really took off. I'd like to read, this will be short, but, you know, 6 days after Super Bowl Sunday, I was one of the people who was there at the Salt River Stadium in Scottsdale. And Sandy Gomez, Pedro's wife, had put together a memorial. You know, everyone got tested and it was invitation only. So, I mean, we could have filled that stadium, obviously, but that day it was a smaller gathering, but I was asked to speak before, by the way, Dante Gomez, Rio Gomez, Sierra Gomez, and Sandy Gomez all spoke that day, which was incredible. But I'll just read the beginning of that. I opened this way. I keep waiting for another text from Pedro, a call, a voicemail to make my day. So many of us feel that, like we've lost a part of ourselves. Our hearts don't just hurt, they feel deflated. What does it take in a person to inspire so many to feel so strongly and with such urgency?
It's well put. I have found myself at times when things have happened in spring training with the Diamondbacks, when Torrey Lovello's contract was not extended or even discussed, and I'm on a conference call with Derek Hall, president of the team, and he said, yeah, it's just not something that's that important right now. And I immediately thought, I got to text Pedro on that because he's going to be, what? Or if it's Tony La Russa getting on a player who's swinging for the fences in a game that is out of control and if that's right or not. Or if it's a doubleheader and you pitch a no-hitter like Madison Bumgarner did earlier this year over 7 innings, does that count as a game or not? And I literally, Steve, I've gone to my phone 3 times on those 3 topics to go to Pedro's because my contact's still in there. It's like, that's right. And it's hard.
You know what? I was just TJ Quinn of ESPN was texting me like 2 minutes before I came on with you. He and I talk about this every day. Literally, I posted at Facebook in that Remember Who You Are group yesterday, the latest Tony La Russa kerfuffle where he was ripping his own player. Yeah. And I could hear the conversation Pedro and I would be having. He would say, Tony, this sort of sad, weary voice, because he and I covered La Russa in 95. We both have a ton of respect for Tony. But sometimes it's like, come on, man, you could be a little smarter here. Everyone knows the situation. You got a great team. It's loaded. You're old. Try not to bring attention to that fact. So, yeah, I have that many times every day. And if people are interested in reading, this is easy to find. I also wrote an essay about losing your best friend where I talk about that same thing. It's a site called The Bold Italic, or it's actually available at that website. But isn't it crazy? I thought maybe after a month or two, it would kind of go away a little. It doesn't. It's still there every day. Every day, I feel like I'm going to text him.
I don't want to give away the book, obviously, but I do want to go to a couple spots here. And the name of the book, again, is Remember Who You Are. What did Pedro Gomez show us about baseball and life? I mean, because that is the title. What, if we go through life, what did Pedro Gomez show us?
Well, one example I'd point to, you know, two guys that Pedro and I both knew well from our A's days were, well, actually, Pedro knew him from Arizona, A.J. Hinch. And we both knew Ron Washington in Oakland when he was a coach. And, you know, Wash became very famous in baseball as like the oracle and writer's best friend, because you could always go to him for a cool quote. But Pedro and I kind of got to that, you know, first. We were Wash guys before that became cool. And then you go later, both A.J. Hinch and Ron Washington had the experience in terms of baseball of being on top of the world, managing in the World Series, and going from that to the depths. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously in AJ's case, that was the sign stealing scandal. AJ doesn't like to call it a scandal, but I'm going to go with scandal.
Yeah.
Wash, you know, it had some issues with Coke a couple of years earlier. And then John Heyman broke a story about it. He was in seriously hot water. And you know, Brad, what amazes me about the story is both of these guys were on the phone with Pedro after that. And Pedro's, you know, ostensibly doing a job because he's there to try to get an interview for ESPN. Everyone knows that. But that's not the way Pedro approached it. Pedro approached it. He was secure enough in his abilities as a reporter that he was going to do his job and do it very well. But he could also be present. He could be a friend to these guys. He could even give them advice. And I'll go farther. Both of them have essays in the book where they go into, I'm going to say, pretty painful, startling detail about what it was like and how Pedro, they said, gave them some of the best personal advice at that moment, at their darkest hour, that they've ever had in their whole lives. I'm not going to, you know, quote from it here. People should order the book. But, you know, it really, really hit me hard that, you know, it's just amazing the impact Pedro had in so many lives, from big league managers who, let's face it, their world is a cacophony. They don't get very many people who they can really tune into offering them personal, honest, blunt advice. Pedro could be that guy. Pedro, there's a wonderful essay in there by Brian Murphy, which is available online at the website, about always grab the corks. Because, and I was with Pedro, you're in a clubhouse after a big win, the Yankees win the World Series, there's champagne all around. You grab the cork, put it in your pocket, because you know what? Sometime you're going to meet someone who, if you pull out that cork and hand it to them, they're going to be just blown away, happy. So that ability to just be present in so many lives was a remarkable quality of Pedro's. And that's why I see this book, we see this book. Sure, it's a book for sports fans, but it's much more than baseball. It's about life. It's about how you connect with people. It's about remembering who you are.
That's well put. Again, the name of the book is Remember Who You Are. Steve Kettman with us for a few minutes, what Pedro Gomez showed us about baseball and life. Before I get you out of here, I'm just going to throw a couple names at you, or a couple of topics. And if you want to go deep, great. If you want to save most of it for the book, I get it. Barry Bonds.
Well, you know, a thing that came to mind about Barry Bonds, two things. I was there in Ahwatukee shortly after Pedro passed, and I was in there standing alone with the flowers, and there were flowers from Barry Bonds. Mm. Barry had sent flowers to the family, and it made me think of a couple of essays in the book. Dusty Baker talked about how he wasn't surprised at all. Dusty, you know, I think people know, was very close to Bobby Bonds, Barry's father, and he actually held Barry as a baby. Dusty thinks it was the day he was born, maybe within a couple of days, and of course managed Barry. And, you know, Barry's a complicated personality. I myself have had long conversations with Barry that were very private. And he didn't really let that show all that time that Pedro covered him, but he always respected Pedro. I also talked to Scott Boris, who's in the collection. He talks about having a Pedro Gomez day to honor Pedro, but he talked about how many conversations they would have, Scott and Pedro, about Barry's kind side, which everyone knew he had. It's just at that particular time, he didn't feel comfortable showing any of that. Pedro would tell me about how we would talk, you know, every day pretty much. And he would say, it's so frustrating because he'd go to Barry and say, look, Barry, you can talk about the Negro Leagues. You can talk about Buck O'Neill. You can talk about, you know, your dad, Bobby Bonds, anything you want. And Barry was just, nope, man, not doing it. And he just decided that was going to be his approach. And it was a tremendous lost opportunity for Barry, you know. So but I do think that the way that that Pedro handled that is certainly part of his legacy. I think there's wide consensus that very few individuals could have handled that. I mean, there's a lot of great reporters, but Pedro had the quality of being a great reporter who most people thought of as a great person as well. And that's a rare combination.
Cuba.
So in March 1999, Pedro, who of course was conceived in Havana, his mother was 8 months pregnant when they got on a flight to Miami, and he was born in Miami. He and I were both born in August 1962. Mm-hmm. Then in March 99, we were both there to cover the game between the Cuban national team and the Baltimore Orioles. I'll never forget walking around Havana with Pedro, kids playing stickball, the whole thing. And, you know, we sat about 11 rows back from Fidel Castro. And one thing about that is Pedro had strong opinions on just about everything, including politics. And he wasn't able to share those in his ESPN years. We do have an essay in the book by Paul Begala, you know, famously a Bill Clinton advisor, who shared some of Pedro's observations. We don't want to alienate any people. The point was just he had a good, clear eye for seeing forward. But in Havana, maybe egged on by a good buddy of his named Steve, he wrote an open letter to Bill Clinton calling on Clinton to lift the economic embargo of Cuba, which if you're a Miami Cuban in March 99, writing that in public, I mean, you are guaranteeing 1,000 angry conversations with Cubanos in Miami. And Pedro did that, which was very, very courageous. His reporting that week in the Arizona Republic was remarkable. I went back and read it all. And Pedro was well known as a personality on television and on radio with you and other places. But he was a great writer and a great reporter. And that's one thing that we're able to bring out in the book, including, for example, Tony La Russa talking about how much respect Pedro earned when Jose Canseco was traded out of the on-deck circle, famously, from the A's. And Pedro had gone to high school with Jose in Miami, Coral Park High. He could have buried the A's with Jose just kind of sounding off. And he was very balanced in his reporting. And, you know, I would call it a Hall of Fame career was born right then, I would argue, that week when Jose was traded. That's when he became a great sports journalist.
Last question. What are you most proud of with this work?
I'm most proud of how many people read it and are brought to tears. You know, there was that joke in that Jerry Maguire about going on with Roy Firestone, and I'm not going to cry.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, you know, a lot of us can be tough guys at times. But, you know, when it comes to missing Pedro, there's not a lot of room for being a tough guy. And I mean, I was kind of shocked when that Brian Murphy essay I mentioned was posted. We just posted it on Monday. And I heard on social media from people you don't think of writing about it brought me to tears, a lot of them. And I just think that we go through life, you know, checking our social media feeds and we're kind of half doing this and half doing that. Maybe we don't really feel things all the way. If you can do a book where it's a book that is just full of honest, direct feeling. And a guy like Buster Olney of ESPN, who's a pro's pro, people have been seeing him for years with kind of a poker face. Well, man, you read his essay in the book about going back to San Diego days with Pedro, which you can relate to, of course.
I knew them both, though. Yep. Both of them were prep writers doing their thing. And then you'd see Buster at Padres as a backup guy. And you're like, that guy's going places. No,
exactly. And Buster writes in such a personal way where you feel like you're getting to know people all over again. Tim Kirchin talking about basketball, you know, Jack Curry of the Times, 3,600 words, the longest essay in the book, all about Pedro and music and sending him clips from concerts he was at. It's just a book that pulls you in and connects you with the moment, because that's what Pedro is all about. And it's a book that has an emotional, like, it's like listening to music that whatever your reaction, you can't miss that you're listening to something that's stirring you deeply. That's what I'm proud of.
That's awesome. The name of the book is Remember Who You Are, What Pedro Gomez Showed Us About Baseball and Life. Steve Kettman with us. Steve, thanks.
Thank you so much, Brad.